The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Planet Gridiron, where football lives. With your host, Damian Anderson.
Okay. All things sports, but we've tried to focus on football. So, I mean, we got to talk this Olympic celebration by the Canadian women's team, cigars and alcohol on ice. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about that? I mean, in our sports, I mean, guys, they show in the locker room, guys drinking, you know, popping champagne, making it rain.
They're
doing
amateurs.
What they do.
They're amateurs.
Okay.
They should not drink. No alcohol.
Okay. They were pros.
What do you think, Dave?
I'm not offended at all. I think we're having this discussion
if they're amateurs and they're representing the United States of America on a world stage, it was
Canada first off that did it. Watch
yeah.
TV,
correct?
Okay,
it was Canada.
I thought you said it was
no. It was a Canadian.
Did
team.
You say watch TV?
Yeah. It was a Canadian team.
I got one channel.
What channel does it stay on?
NFL Network.
BET.
There you go.
BET, yeah. Well, to be honest, once again, Americans imposing their own values and views on how everybody else should conduct themselves.
There you go.
This is their culture. It is technically their game in where they dominate, and they dominated us and whipped us. And they're free to celebrate in any manner they want as long as it's not necessarily disrespectful. Disrespectful, though, is determined by the viewer.
Well, they disrespected their country.
Okay, and when an Olympics is about the purity of the game.
Sure.
I mean,
exactly, like you said, amateur
athletics, uh-huh. And I mean, I'm just going to raise up some views and rolling what you talked about in terms like they're amateur. And the Poland, I think, was one of the stars on their team. She's 18 years old, out with a cigar, you know, drinking. And as Dave knows, I mean, you're a lawyer, I mean, you know, when it comes to laws, I mean, that's illegal.
That is correct. That is illegal.
So, I mean, for me, like, it doesn't offend me in terms of I understand that you guys are excited,
a
happy.
Bunch of luscious.
Yeah. No.
I mean, what are you representing to the world?
I mean, that they have fun. They're excited.
Okay, but you got to have alcohol to have fun. What are you telling these kids?
No, change the context. At almost every celebration, baseball, NBA championship, we go inside the locker room.
And they're popping bottles.
Bubbly. Everywhere. Right. And cigars.
But they're not under 18.
That's true.
Well, they're not drinking it. They're pouring it all over each other.
Well, they're swigging it definitely in hockey. I know I've seen that out of Lord Stanley's cup.
They're drinking it too and everything else.
And I would agree they're not underage, okay? But there's only one that's underage, and I'm not making any excuses for it.
No,
it never should have occurred. Also, we need to bear in mind drinking age is 19 up in Canada.
Okay. But she was 18.
She was still 18. Okay. Still 18. It doesn't bother me.
And on a stage like that, I mean, like we talk about the purity of the game, I mean, you don't think that the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, should fine them or ban them for their performance?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You think so?
Definitely. Well, take their medals away.
What? Yeah.
What's so funny? I fail to see the humor in that.
We're laughing because that's about how realistic that is.
Exactly.
That's going to happen. But no, we had two greats in the NFL game get released this week, LaDainian Tomlinson as well as Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook was due to receive a $7.2 million contract this year, and LaDainian, they just said, we've had enough with him. And what do you say? And they're both kind of in their exiting strategy. LaDainian was like, "Well, it was time coming. It was long overdue." And Brian Westbrook was more so, they said, about the money.
Well, let's say Westbrook first. Okay, you go down. You negotiate a contract, and you know this is your last year coming up. There's $7 million on the back end of this deal.
Sure.
You know this is going to happen. You know you're going to get released. How do you let this happen as a negotiator? How do you say, I'll put all these eggs at the back of the pack?
No, well, it was a bonus, first off. It was
but still,
his base was 3.1.
There's money there. You know, they're gonna have to pay him this money. I think they should pay him.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this is a negotiation. Now, we always have to deal with the fact that what NFL contracts are not guaranteed.
What are you? At will employee? Is that what it is?
You're not at will. You're at will.
You're an at will employee.
So we know the contract's really written in invisible ink. Let's be quite honest.
It's all up to the owner.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, I like that about football, and I think it should be that type of interplay, if you will, to some degree, should be
in every sport and all professional sports.
But why is that? I mean, because you can get hurt or what? I mean,
well, the reason why you do that is also because of salary cap reasons and
liability issues.
Absolutely.
Liability issues. I mean, think about it. Versus, it's like doing NASCAR. I'm sure their liability insurance is way
through the roof
in comparison to basketball. Think about the risk associated with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Baseball.
Right.
You know, I mean, it might be slightly higher than basketball because you don't have a 100-mile-per-hour pitch coming at your face.
Mm-hmm. And also, you have to deal with hard cap.
Of all the sports,
we deal with a hard cap. So you can't take on a player who can't play.
And more players, et cetera. And it's more players, 53-man roster, practice squad, et cetera,
versus
basketball's 15. Baseball may have, like, you know, 20 or something.
They have 25,
like that.
I believe. Yeah. And 15 of them are pitchers.
And they have, and half of them can go up and down between the major, you know.
So does he get his $3
million? He does not.
He gets zero.
He gets zero.
He gets goose eggs.
And you have to look at it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I came out the same year as Brian Westbrook. I think he's an amazing talent. But I'm looking at it as the Eagle standpoint. You know, you understand. I think he still has talent left. I think he really should stop playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Having two concussions like that where you can't play anymore and you don't know where you are, to me, that's saying, my body's saying, because I'm sure he's been hit like that early in his career just fine.
Sure.
And got up, hey, you know, went out and juked the guy and scored, ran for 100 yards. But once your body starts, you know, progressively getting worse, it's a time to say, you know what? You know, that's why.
It's over, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a great
time
ride.
To do something else.
I set my mark in stone here as a Philadelphia Eagle. It's been real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's just my personal opinion. I think, like I said, he's a great talent. He has nothing else to prove.
Agreed. But going back to your first question, how do you let that happen when you were asking about the contract?
Right.
When you think about the negotiator or the agent, and we're going to make an assumption that he or she was a lawyer, okay, you know what you're negotiating within the parameters of who you're dealing with. And what I mean by that is, one, you know you're dealing with the NFL, hard cap, and we have non-guaranteed contracts. Also, you have to bear in mind, Philadelphia did a favor because they renegotiated his contract.
Yeah.
You know, because he was unhappy, and they obviously wanted
to. Also, there's more to the story.
Absolutely.
There's more to the story. Two years ago,
and he had, I believe, at least 2 years left on the contract, and he wouldn't report. He was disgruntled, and they didn't have to negotiate the contract. So what you do to alleviate the fact that we all know back end of the contract, you're not going to see that money, is we give you the upfront guaranteed money in the form of either signing bonus, reporting bonuses, workout
like
bonuses.
Like they did with Kurt Warner,
right,
you know, out here. I mean, he had signed a 2-year deal for, you know, reportedly $18 to $19 million, but he was guaranteed 14 of that million, you know, in the first year. So basically this year he was like, ah.
Nah.
Well, he knew what he was doing, and they knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
They knew as soon as he inked the deal that he was going to play 1 year.
This is last year.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I understand that, and I just think that I think Brian should, you know, thank you, buddy. It's been real. Hopefully.
Let's hope he saved his money.
Oh, we're hopeful of that.
He appears to be.
And speaking of that, coming up later on, we're going to have Kurt Warner from the Seahawks on the show.
The other Kurt Warner.
Right. No, the original.
The original Kurt Warner.
The Kurt Warner with the C.
Yeah, talking about how he made the transition into, I'll say, real life and making a go at business. He's got a car dealership now.
The Penn State legend. Penn State legend.
You got it.
But so LaDainian Tomlinson.
Loved him.
I think, but I mean, what?
Where is he going to go?
He's going somewhere where they can offer 10 carries, basically. He's going somewhere that's obviously playoff and not too
but
far.
What did you tell me, Damian?
This is where I don't think that will best suit him, because he's a player that needs 20 carries a game. I'm sorry. I mean, if you looked at his continuous career, he's one of those players that even college, he gets better throughout
the
game.
He gets.
The more carries he gets.
But they're running backs everywhere.
Exactly. And unfortunately, he can't do that anymore.
Nope.
He's not going to be able to have that ability to come in. Unfortunately, you see a bright star like he is, he's going to dimmer down and fade away into the Milky Way galaxy, if that's a great analogy or simile to use, you know, because unfortunately he's going to be like Edgerrin James. Was great player, you know, NFL Hall of Fame type of NFL back, but unfortunately, where he is right now and the type of production that he could give to a team is very minimal.
It is.
And unfortunately...
Would you say he wore out his welcome?
No.
I mean,
did he stay in too long? Should he have thought about getting out earlier, getting out on his terms, kind of like what Burt did?
No, because I think that he was going out kind of similar to Burt. You know, I think that the fact that you're just holding on to this rope that you could still play the game at a high level. I mean, from you looking at it as an avid fan of Dave, you know, someone experienced to myself, like LT is not the same LT that he was when he came in this game. He's not that explosive guy, make guys miss. He's more of a, I see it, my mind thinks it, but my body doesn't. My body can't
so
do it.
So we better get him Ray's phone number. Get a show.
Yeah, get a show. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. But no, I mean, I just think that, I mean, I love the guy to death. I think he's one of the, you know, he transcended running backs in terms of pass, you know, protection, receiving the ball out of the backfield, played against him twice and, you know, throughout my professional career as well as my college career. I mean, the guy did it all. You know what I mean? A great talent.
Did you go to New York with him? Were you in New York?
Mm-mm. No. I didn't go. No. You're talking about the Heisman ceremony?
Yeah.
All throughout the college, like the College Football Home Depot Awards, we all saw Walter Camp.
Campbell.
Walter Camp that war. Uh-huh. We met at all those things. But he, I mean, he's a great guy. Great, you know,
very
down-home kid, country kid from Texas. I mean, he knows football in and out. Great role model, great person, as well as a football player. I just feel as though I would just hang him up. I mean, I know it's sorry to say you've played. I mean, he said he wants to win a championship. And don't get me wrong, like Dave said, 10 carries a game. I think that he could find somewhere, but it's like, what are you doing to your name, your legend? You want to get a ring, you know? But I understand that that's important to some guys.
Well, is that kind of what Emmett did? You know,
no, he knew he wasn't winning no ring here.
Emmett
got a check.
Yeah.
Emmett went to the highest bidder.
But I mean, was that it? I mean, was it just come out and get the check? Or, I mean, he was, you know, the legend in Dallas there, you know, but to come out here
to
Arizona?
About it. Why would he really continue to play at this point? I mean, his legend his legacy was
You're
already solidified. I'm speaking to Emmitt Smith. Think about him.
Emmitt, okay.
When he came out here, he had already broken the record. He broke it the year before, right, with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And they had rode that puppy as long as they could, and they let him go. But if they're going to give you $2.5 million, I think that's what it was.
No,
four.
Four,
excuse me.
2 years.
Two years at $8 million.
Yep.
2 years at $8 million, and you're going to be the starter.
How much of that was guaranteed?
He got it all.
He got it all.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a bad way to go out now, folks.
I guess not.
I mean, if you
Dancing with the Stars, huh?
Yeah, and he won that.
Yeah.
So he got some flow. But no, I mean, I just think for me, seeing those two guys coming in with him, I really feel that, I mean, it's time, fellas. I mean, not that I'm here, you know, and I wish I could have continued to play at a high level.
Is that about average, 30 years old and
for running
29?
Back, they say
That's beyond average. Think about it. They only play two and a half, 3 years.
Yeah.
Really?
For running back, we'll be back with more talking about running backs in the NFL, free agency. The Penn State legend, I almost said NU legend, Kurt Warner, and we'll be on the show, as well as Bob Davis's strength tip of the week. Playing Ground Radio, Damon Anderson, Roland Hill, resident
David
expert,
Lockhart.
David Lockhart.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting, bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com,
where football lives.
Hit it, hit it. Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoors subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring Lemont Williams with co-host Jacob Greer. Each week, join Lemont and Jacob as they take callers, discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sit down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Just grab that Dick Gregory.
And we're back here on PlanetGridiron.com, Voice of America Sports, with your host, Damian Anderson.
And welcome. We talk all things sports. We try and focus a little bit on football. And we have a special guest today, the man, the myth, the legend.
Is that Echo?
I don't know what that is. Is that my Darth Vader voice, Dion? Can you clean me up a little bit? All right, we better there. We have the man, the myth, the legend from Penn State. Yeah, he's a Big Ten guy, so we got to bring him on, show him some love. The original Kurt Warner with the C. Kurt, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
Doing great. Hanging in there.
So, Kurt, so tell us about just your experience with Joe Pa at Penn State, man. How was that?
Well, you know, Joe Pa is legendary. And typically, when we go back, we have to kiss the ring in order to get back into the facility. No, I'm just kidding. you know, Joe Paterno is an original. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't learn that. I was going to say, unfortunately, you don't learn that sometimes until you actually get out of there.
Right.
Because he was a hard-driving, demanding coach that just did not put up with a lot of nonsense. So you learn to do it the Penn State way, which is, in reality, the Joe Pa way. And if you do it his way and you play with poise and you play with confidence and you do what's needed to get done, while you're playing, then you'll have a great career with him. It'll be a life learning career, and I was fortunate enough to be a part of that.
So Kurt, so I mean, you obviously did it the right way to play for a national championship, 2-time All American, and a first round draft pick. So, in your transition process, I mean, you're doing big things. You own your own dealership. So myself and David Lockhart here. We were talking about one of our mutual friend of ours of guys that struggle with that transition in and out of the league. And what do you think can it be in place to help facilitate that transition?
Well, I'll tell you something. It's unfortunate, but this is just my opinion with regards to the transition. You know, in the NFL, for whatever reason, you're sort of alienated. with regards to
reality.
It's unfortunate that guys don't really get a chance to talk to guys who have been out of the NFL. And you know, you would hope that they could get that somewhat fixed, because I know for myself, you know, unfortunately, we don't want to deal with that reality. But it is there.
No, you're right. I agree.
The transition is going to take place, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. And I tell people this all the time. I said, you never want to leave the NFL. They just have to kick you out. And that's a true statement. That is a true statement. And most of us are not ready to accept that, because we don't understand that it is a business. And it is big business. And when your time is up, and it will come to that point, you're going to have to leave one way or the other. And for the most part, you know, for running backs, and I know for me, that was a hard thing to accept, the fact that I was no longer needed. I could no longer be affiliated with the guys that I was affiliated with. You're no longer a part of that group, and then all of a sudden you just kind of left out there, and you got nowhere to go. Who do you turn to?
Kurt, hey, Dave Lockhart here. And actually, before I ask you my question here, you basically tore my heart out. I am from Georgia, and I grew up, and I watched that game, and you just ran all over the Georgia Bulldogs and shamed Herschel Walker that evening.
He ain't that big of a Georgia guy. He went to University of Arizona.
I grew up being that Bulldog fan, so you left what I would call an indelible mark on my life as I watched you all just run through the Bulldogs.
Well, let me tell you what happened, okay? Just let me give you our side of it, all right? We are down in New Orleans, okay? And all we heard the whole week was, how about them dogs? How about Herschel Walker? How about them dogs? How about Herschel Walker? How about them dogs? How about Herschel Walker? And we heard it probably a million times. So by the time that game had started, we were so just tired of it that we wanted to play some football.
Gotcha.
And needless to say, you know, Georgia played well. And, fortunately for us, we played a little bit better that day.
That you
but,
did.
But they were a good football team, so we take nothing from them.
Hey, jumping back into the situation about the transitioning out of, it's very obvious that you've been quite successful. What I want to ask you about is your preparation, the nuggets of information you could share that allowed you to transition so seamlessly into a situation, or at least the appearance of seamlessness with respect to going into business. Because let's be honest, it wasn't as though you were practicing those principles as you were playing football.
Exactly. You know what? This is just my end of it, or my side of it. The transition is difficult.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter who you are. You know, obviously there are exceptions to the rule, and there are very few exceptions to the rules. But I'm talking about the 90% or 95% of the guys that. They get out and they're used to living a certain lifestyle, and you've got to make some serious adjustments, because you're just not making the kind of money you were once making, and you've got other responsibilities and you've got bills to pay,
right,
and et cetera, et cetera. And for whatever reason, the NFL, that lifestyle and the real world, they don't always jive, okay? Because that job you have with the NFL is a once-in-a-lifetime occupation. And there just aren't very many of those out there.
Kurt, Roland Hill here, Planet Gridiron. What made you, or how did you matriculate towards the GM dealer program and not Ford, or even come up with that idea to go towards GM or the car business itself?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us, Kurt?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
Well,
all right.
Well, maybe Roland cut out, but Roland Hill was asking you the question of, why did you decide to go into the GM dealer program in regards to your transition?
Well, actually, my accountant brought it to my attention, because I wasn't sure, you know, what I wanted to do. Obviously, you know, I've got a degree in communications, and I could have probably gone down the road of doing some broadcasting and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought about that, but at the time it just wasn't that appealing to pursue that. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. I probably should have stuck with that. Yeah. But that's okay.
You seem to like you're doing all quite okay for yourself, though.
You know, and I'm kicking my accountant because I'm like, dude, I mean, what are you doing? I could have done the sports thing here, man. Come on. I got a personality.
Right.
So, you know, he brought it to my attention. I decided to go down that road. And, you know, I spent, you know, some time. I spent about 4 or 5 years in dealerships and actually working in dealerships, and I actually, you know, went through the NADA Academy to learn the business, because if you're going to get into it, then you need to learn it, because it's a business that takes a lot of your time, and you have to be, you know, aware of what's going on
Kirk,
with the business itself.
Kirk, as most of our listeners are either in the league or out of the league right now, how do they get into a program like this? How do they even find out what to do?
Well, you can go online, and it's gmmda.org or .com. And that'll give you information about General Motors. You can go on their website, the General Motors website, and or you can go and type in minority dealer candidates that way as well. So there's a number of ways that you can inquire and gather information about, you know, pursuing that particular arena.
Kurt, I'm going to give you your broadcasting opportunity right now. So we were talking about LT and Brian Westbrook. What's your feelings on those guys right now as they potentially transition out of the league or hold on for a couple more? How do you feel about those two guys?
Well, you know, I learned a very valuable lesson about this, the same stage that LT is in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, don't let your emotions make a business decision for you, because 100% of the time, you're going to be wrong. Okay? So hopefully, he can transition somewhere else and fit in at another level. Maybe he could be a great third down guy. You know, go to Philadelphia or somewhere like that where you may fit in better, and it may be a better fit for you. But obviously, the toughest thing for a guy of his stature to come to realize is that you're not as good as you once were. At 26, 27, 25, 26, 27, he's different. You know?
Kurt, we're going out to break. Hang on 1 second. Stay with us if you can.
Sure.
Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports. We'll be right back in 90.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works. I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field.
with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on PlanetGridiron.com radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
That's right, and that's the voice we all know and love, Roland Hill. And we have our resident expert, NFL analyst, and Mr. Rain Man, knows everything, Dave Lockhart.
Here, Kmart, yeah. Definitely Kmart.
And we are blessed to be connected with Kurt Warner, the original C. Kurt Warner, from from Penn State, Seattle Seahawks third overall pick, and Hall of Fame, and congratulations in being inducted to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you very much. That was a it has been an honor and a privilege to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. We have been at a couple of events already, and it's just a first class setup.
Kurt, do you forget about the time that has elapsed? Because I mean, for me, it's only been 10 years, and I just got inducted to Northwestern's Hall of Fame. We never had an opportunity to beat Penn State, and that's what I'm hating right now because I'm talking to you on the phone. But do you just for, does it go by so? Did it go by so fast for you?
Yeah, you know what? It did, but you know, I try to stay in tune with what's going on at State College. But it does go by, and then pretty soon it's 10 years, and then it's 20 years, and it's 25 years, and 30 years, and you're going like, man,
right.
Wow!
But I want to know how relevant is Kurt Warner in the best running backs in Penn State history conversation right now? We had that conversation back at State College. How relevant are you in that conversation?
I would think that I hold my own, and I'm not one to toot my horn with regards to.
I'll toot it, toot.
Yes.
but I don't get into that conversation. I did what I did. I had a great career there. I befriended a lot of guys, and we're still good friends. We got a chance to win a national championship. I got to be a part of that, and that was our goal going in there. So, as far as who's the best, it's ask Coach Paterno, ask the other guys. They'll tell you, I played okay. I held my own.
Not only broadcasting, but I think you got a career in politics as well.
Well, you can't just come out and say, well, I was the best that ever played. I mean, you've got John Castellani, you've got
Mitchell,
you've got
Franco Harris.
Pittman. I mean, you got guys, you got Franco Harris that was once there. I can't go in there and say, these guys are great football players. I'm glad to be in the arena with them, to be honest with you.
You're on Planet Gridiron, you the best.
Yeah.
But you were talking about LaDainian Tomlinson and Brian Westbrook before we went to break. So how do you feel about those guys and where they could end up in their careers?
I think they'll go down. LaDainian will go down as one of the best. There's no doubt about it. And he's got the data, and he's got the numbers, and he's got the statistics, and he's got the winning percentages and all the other stuff that goes into play. I think he'll go down as one of the great players. Westbrook, I think, will go down as a good player. I don't know if he's going to be at that same caliber as LaDainian, but I think he's a darn good football player.
Real quickly, Kurt, I more or less love the college game as opposed to pro. I'll be honest. I'm biased to that game. Couple quick questions for you. When you were playing at Penn State, and let's say not necessarily right after, but you had, Kijana Carter, you've had DJ Dozier, and a couple of those backs, were those backs still coached by the same coaches that coached you?
Yeah, Frank Ganner.
Okay.
Frank Ganner was the coach.
All right, here's what the next question. Why did those guys suck, but you also take the same tutelage and did so well in terms of not only just in college, but transitioning into the NFL?
No, you can't say that about those guys.
Hey, I'm known as the
Kurt,
brutal politician.
You're trying to get me in trouble.
We keep it real.
They were really good football players.
No, yeah, in college.
Exactly.
Kurt,
in college,
they were coached
Dave's
by one of the best coaches. I call him the best running back coach that I've been fortunate to be a part of with regards to coaches. So I'm not even going to get into that question. I'm going to move on to something else.
Lyman.
Move on.
Lyman, Dave. Lyman, Dave.
It was the lineman.
So, Kurt, you've got a foundation for autism. How did you get into to the Autism Foundation? Why did you set up your foundation for that?
Well, I have two boys that are twins that have autism, so that had a lot to do with it.
Okay, and are you guys doing any fundraisers? You doing anything in the community to bring awareness or?
We have in the past, and we're not doing as much of it today as we have in the past due to the fact that it takes up a lot of our time. Mm-hmm. And my wife, you know, primarily just said, hey, look, you know, I just need to take a break. So I've had to kind of back off of that, but we're still, you know, still dealing with the autism.
Gotcha. So Dave.
Kurt,
in terms of your NFL experience, what was the moment that stuck out like, wow, I'm in the NFL? Was it one of your Pro Bowls, or was it rushing for 1,000 yards? I mean, what was one of the things that you were just like, wow, I'm here?
I'll tell you, when I realized I was in the NFL in a whole different arena is when we went to the first mini camp. Okay, that's when I realized it was different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, because, you know, these guys, you know, D1, you know, you've got the best of the best at the high school level and the college level. And you're able to compete against guys who are just phenomenal players, phenomenal athletes. Then when you go into an NFL camp, that game just speeds up even more so. So you've got transitions that come into play. And it's faster. It's more crisp, and it is just a whole different ball game, and you have to adjust to it and get yourself, you know, in tune with how you're going to proceed as you move forward. So, the first camp was an eye opener for me, and then that kind of allowed me to kind of adjust to it.
And it seemed like you caught on, and you did extremely well. I remember your rookie year, and it was a very good rookie year at that. Would you say that the transition overall for running backs moving into the NFL seems to be a bit more easier because the skills that you all have just transitions as you – they're essentially the same. You need great vision. You need great balance, things of that nature.
Yeah, I would say that's very important with regards to that transition. And you may be right. As far as our skill level, you know, because you look at the tangible things and then you look at the intangible things.
Right.
And, you know, for me, it was, I had, you know, obviously Chuck Knox there.
Right.
And his philosophy was pretty simple, and that is, you know what, run where they ain't, run the daylight, the ball ain't heavy. Those are the three things that he hit me with, and that's it. I kind of went from there. Okay, that's it? That's all you're going to tell me? Yeah, that's it. Okay, you're on your own.
So taking that, so what part of that do you take when you coach running backs at Camas High School?
You know, I try to emphasize the fact that when, you know, their first two or three steps, and when they catch the ball, or will not catch the ball, when they actually, you know, take the handoff, they have to be in a position as to where, when they get to the line of scrimmage, they have to make decisions for themselves. I don't tell them exactly where to run. I say, hey, look, you got the ball. I'm going to set you up in the right slot. And then once you get that ball, you can go right, left, or up, you know, to the middle. So I try to give them the ability to make decisions, good decisions, and I don't, you know, I don't try to tell them, hey, look, you know what, let's not predetermine where you're going to go.
Gotcha. I had a running back coach by the name of Kirby Wilson. He coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And I loved it how he would talk. He would never said that you were wrong, but he always asked me at the end of it. I always knew that I did something wrong by the question he would ask, but what did you see?
What did you see?
That's exactly what I try to, you know, because if you walk out there and you say, hey, I want you to run this way.
Right.
And you run, you should have gone up the middle when in fact you could have bounced it to the outside or cut back, then you're second guessing yourselves. And what they never did, what Fran Ganner and my coach with the Seahawks, Chick Harris, they never questioned the fact that I could make my own decision as to what I was going to do. They said, because you are going to be the one that's going to eventually have to make that decision as to what you're going to do. You've got to be able to say, okay, I made my decision based on what I saw.
I mean, but you had 42 school records. What are they going to say to you, Kirk?
Exactly.
Well, maybe not Fran, but Joe would also have his moments where he'd have a little talk with me out on the field. But, so, you know.
But Kirk, as you know, that's a humbling experience. They're like, we can't let this boy get too pride and privilege and think he's better than us. You know.
Well, trust me, I was not in that position at any time I can remember. At any time. Right. So,
hey, Kirk, thank you so much for being on the show. We're headed out to another break. And
all right, guys.
Anytime, I'd like for you to be back on the show. We
love
had a great time with you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
anytime.
That.
Anytime you guys want me to come on the show, just give me a call and we'll chat.
Thank you, sir.
Much and continued blessings and success.
All right, buddy. Thank
Kurt Warner, Seattle Seahawks, 1983, Nittany Lion.
We got to go. We got a caller. We got Ronnie. Ronnie, you there?
What's up, boss?
What's going on, man?
What's the deal, baby?
So come on, fill us in. You played CFL. I also want to talk to you about this. You played in the NFL, as well as played in the CFL. We got to give you a name, Ronnie Goldie McClendon.
So
we got to properly introduce himself. So tell us about, I want to ask you about this Ole Miss running back. What's his name, Dave?
McCluster.
McCluster.
Dexter
McCluster, next coming. Tell me about him, bro.
You know what, D.A., I watched that guy play, man. I went down to the LSU game, actually, and he is very exciting. He's one of the most exciting players that I've seen live in a long time. Please, please, man. People talk about Reggie Bush and talk about these guys and the Travis Best of West Virginia, but McCluster, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the third down back, the changer. The Reggie Bush, the way Reggie Bush was, I think he's even better than Reggie was.
But I heard if he get hit, they might launch him into the stands.
Exactly.
He only weighed 165.
168, 165.
Yeah.
You're right about that. He got to beef up a little bit because he doesn't weigh a lot. He's a very, very little guy. But he's quicker than a water bug, man. Guy, he's awesome.
Quicker than a water bug.
You know he's from the South. He's from the boot. And we're about to go to break, and I want to talk about Lil Wayne's new album, because I know you got it. And what was he doing? What was he thinking in that?
Rebirth, right?
Yeah, yeah. Rebirth.
I got that right.
Yeah. What was he thinking? And also, we got to talk about that LT Brian Westbrook situation, bro.
Absolutely.
Because, you're a running back. You know about it. Provide some insight. So we'll be back after the break. Damon Anderson, Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart, Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports. Call in 888-346-9144.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting, bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
School to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
All right, we're back here on Planet Gridiron Radio, Voice America Sports, with your host, Damian Anderson.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Roland. We have our resident NFL expert, David Lockhart.
As well on the line,
we got a former Edmonton Eskimo, Ole Miss graduate, and personal friend of mine, Ronnie, the Ronster. So tell us about your thoughts about this LaDainian Tomlinson, Brian Westbrook thing, man. How do you feel about that?
Well, Damian, man, I'm just blown away, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? I understand, you know as well, being a running back, you know, your time will come to an end at some point. But you think about what LT did for the whole city of San Diego. You think about what LT did for that organization, and it blows my mind to feel that they still, you know, couldn't come to agreement. We don't know what went on behind closed doors, but from the outside looking in, it looks – I don't agree with that, man.
But I don't agree with that. Can I call you Ronnie?
Call me Ronnie, D.A.
Okay, Ronnie. So what, as you know, it's a
Ronnie.
As you know, it's a business. I mean, they got, you know, the little guy there in Sproles. He's not an every down back, and they need the guy, and they have to. It's about, you know, risk versus reward and cost versus effect. And LaDainian, excuse me, costs too much right now for a guy that they can only give 10 carries to, and they need a guy like Javid Best, Ryan Matthews, or you know, one of those guys. Or
agree.
Getting another Dexter McCluster is just not going to. Another Sproles, but they need an every down back, or even to spell each other, or when that guy plays, to be more effective. You know what I mean? They need a guy to when he's in there to make that impact. But if you look at the guys like in Carolina, you look at the guys for the Arizona Cardinals, or just the 1-2 punches around the league. When those guys are in there, they're effective. Beanie Wells, when he gets the ball, he's ripping, you know, 5-6 a carry.
Yep.
Even if you look at Tim Hightower, when he's getting the ball in the passing game, running game, he could do both. LaDainian's a great player. I just think that obviously he's missing a step. He still has all the things mentally. However, it's just not translating on the football field.
I would agree with that, too. Not only that, he, being LaDainian, indicated he's not doing another restructuring.
Right.
So
right.
He expects to make top dollar for the
and
top caliber back. And he's
gonna,
no longer that top caliber back.
It's not going to happen. And I think Brian Westbrook, I mean, Goldie, I'll get your opinion. I think he's been hit on the head too many times. and I'm just sorry, bro. You know, I love him to death. And I mean, if that's my son, and I hope Drake play, you know, has the opportunity to go to college and experience, you know, great high school football, and he plays in the NFL. If that happens to my son, I'm like, bruh,
hang it up.
That's done. I'm like, this is daddy decision.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. 30? I mean, like, I was on Brian Westbrook.
At 30.
He's 30.
Well,
31.
Brian Westbrook, I agree. I mean, I think Brian Westbrook is definitely, you know, is that a chapter that he had to close in his career, unfortunately. But the LT situation, I just feel a little bit different about that, man. I just feel that, you know, like I said, I mean, yeah, he lost a step. He's not the same guy. And, you know, it is a business, you know. And that's the only thing about football that, you know, about professional football that I really, you know, it's hard to come to grips with that. I heard you guys had Kurt Warner on before. He was saying about how, you know, whether you want to get out the NFL or be forced out, you're gonna go. In some cases, you know, it's sad to see some guys go, i.e. LT.
Gotcha. Yeah. Great point. So we got a former Northwestern Wildcat in Western Illinois. I don't know what y'all are, Pirates, Bulldogs, Bullfrogs. what are y'all, Shagoo? Welcome to Planet Gridiron, man.
You got a Leatherneck?
What's going on? Actually, I'm a Wildcat, but yeah, there's Leathernecks.
Yeah, Leathernecks?
Yeah, the Leathernecks.
Damn, Dave, you know, after.
my wife's mother used to work at Western Illinois.
Okay.
I've been up there.
So good, welcome to the show. You got a great friend that you played at Western with, Mike Cypher. So you're very familiar with the San Diego program. How do you feel about LT, Brian Westbrook? You know, it was all around the years that we played together. So how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I mean, we had an opportunity to actually play against LT a couple of years when we were there, and I mean, he's a phenomenal back. I mean, he's still a phenomenal back.
Are you in the kitchen?
Turn the TV off.
It's sad that the business part has to come into it, you know what I mean? I mean, hopefully, you know, the numbers don't lie, but usually after 30, the backs sometimes go in decline, and you got to do what's best for the business, but it kind of him because, I mean, he's, I mean, not been removed a couple of years, the MVP of the league, man. So, I mean, it just shows you how quick it can go. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, that 1 second you can be there, 1 second it's just gone.
Kind of like Sean Alexander, eh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, who knew he fell off so bad? I mean, he was just killing up in Seattle. All of a sudden, he can't play. Washington can't even get on the field.
Sean Alexander was Steve Hutchinson. That's what happened.
Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones. That combination.
Steve Hutchinson went to
Minnesota,
and yeah. Sean was just stuck like, what am I going to do? But no, we got to get to the draft, and we also got our Bob Davis Strength of America strength tip of the day, so we have to get to that, guys. So go ahead and get us the quarterbacks. How you feel about that?
Let's get them jumping. Somewhat top-heavy. I'm not necessarily enamored with many of them. Been through kind of what the draft nicks have been saying, but the ones that keep jumping out the most are obviously going to be Sam Bradford, who didn't play this year at Oklahoma.
Right.
You're going to have Jimmy Clausen, also, you know, played at Notre Dame, had the 3-year career coming out a little bit early. You're also going to talk about Tim Tebow and how he's going to try to transition into the NFL, and you got to deal with Colt McCoy, who I'm probably least impressed with, regardless of what the statistics say. I don't think Colt McCoy necessarily is going to transition very well into the NFL, but for
could be a Drew Brees type guy, though.
Yep, he could be. But it's two systems that he may work well in, and that's Denver Broncos and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because they don't rely on necessarily a lot of acumen in terms of reading defenses.
Gotcha.
They're just schemes.
And I think that also with being in a similar situation in St. Louis, I mean, sorry, the Saints.
Right.
You know, being in that situation where you don't have to make reads, it's right now, it's 1, right. 2, 3, you know, drop the ball. Yeah, what was that? Ronnie?
Yeah.
So, we were just talking about the Saints, and you're from the boot. How'd you feel about, you know, them winning the championship, man?
Oh, my God. Damn it. I feel, I feel like the New Orleans had the whole country behind them, guys. I mean, even internationally, I had a lot of people in Canada phoning me, you know, pulling for the Saints, man. It was just destiny. If you look back on their season, some things that happened in some of those games, you can't explain it. The Washington Redskins game, you know, some of the things that happened, you're like, can you believe that? The players Brett Favre throw. You know Brett Favre,
yes,
the older guy.
We can believe Brett through that pass. I just want to ask you, did you cry?
Yeah, I did. Not gonna lie. Yeah, I did, DA. Yes, I did. I mean, I was on cloud nine for about a week, buddy.
No, I got you. We're about to play our audio clip rolling, so this is me and you signing off. I want to thank everybody listening for playing the Gridiron. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week here on PlanetGridiron.com.
Voice America Sports Network. Play that clip, Dion. Appreciate you guys listening.
What I want to talk to you today about is with the combine test coming up, the pro agility test. Great test of speed, but more importantly, the agility change of direction while you maintain that speed. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand on a 5-yard line, get in a semi-squat, athletic ready stance. On the go, you're going to turn to the right, explode hard into a run for 5 yards. As you approach the 5-yard line mark, you're going to squat down, plant your foot, drop the butt, hand touches the line, the right hand. As soon as it does touch, you're going to turn your head to the left, extend that leg, pop hard into a sprint for 10 yards. As you get to that 10-yard mark, you're going to drop the butt again to get good traction and also a good reaction. So as soon as that left foot hits and left hand, you're going to explode, turning your head to the right to run across that starting point where you came across. A full 20-yard run. What's important about this, most athletes, as they do this test, end up running 21 to 23 yards because they get to that change of direction. They don't drop their butt, the leg is out straight, they slide, and they end up circling out wide. Control is the most important part of the speed and agility test that we have here. Go to planetgridiron.com, hit the knowledge page, go down to the Strength of America button to see our blog and information on this drill and the video, or go to strengthofamerica.us, select the Training Corner page in football. Remember, training hard is very important, but training smart is more important.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.